Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out! It's only films to be buried with. Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I am a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a magnet, and I love films. As Albert Einstein once said, "The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination, and also knowing to end a film trilogy after the third one." Every week, I invite a special guest over, I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Jameela Jamil, Ricky Gervais, and Catherine Ryan, but this week, my special guest is stand-up comedian and podcaster Chris Martin. Keep up to date with all my live shows and stand-up gigs by following me on Twitter at Brett Goldstein and on Instagram at Mr. Brett Goldstein. I can now confirm there will be a live episode of the podcast at the Marlowe Comedy Festival in Canterbury on Thursday, 25th of July, with the amazing Mae Martin. You must get your tickets online now. Thank you. If you do enjoy the podcast and you want to support it and get more content, come and join me over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you'll get extra guest questions for nearly all of the episodes. You'll get some videos, there's guest list tickets, recommendations, all sorts of stuff. This week there's 10 minutes of extra chat with Chris, and you don't want to miss it, to be honest. Why would you? Why are you sitting there thinking, oh, maybe I'll miss that? You'd be crazy to think that. And remember, best of all, if you do become a Patreon member, not only do you get loads of extra good stuff, like extra stuff to every single episode, you don't even have to hear me talking about becoming a Patreon member. I mean, let's be honest, this is the worst bit of every podcast, me telling you to become a Patreon member. The only way of getting rid of it all is to become a Patreon member. You get the whole episode, no ads, none of this chat. I mean, I'm bored even saying it. Just join me over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you there. So, here we go. Chris Martin is a stand-up, an actor, a writer. You will know him from his podcasts he does with Carl Donnelly and their award-winning show, Babysitting Trevor. If you've never seen his stand-up, I think you can find a lot of him online and you will love it. I recorded this episode in about January, February this year when I was out in America, where Chris now lives with his wife, Hannah, and they are both superstars. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 51 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein and I am joined today by an actor, a writer, a podcaster, a human being from England that now lives in LA, and an incredible stand-up. Please welcome to the show the amazing Mr. Chris Martin.
Oh, thank you, Brett. That was nice.
Thank you for coming to this place where I am staying in LA. I've flown out to LA to record this with you.
Yeah.
Here we are in LA. Tell us briefly, now, of all the English people amongst our peer group, a lot of us go back and forth, a lot of us came to LA, decided didn't like it, left. Someone like me does kind of half and half, goes back. You very much committed.
Very
came
committed.
Came to LA, moved here with your wife, you are here full time.
Yeah.
How is it?
It's good. I was here briefly in 2015. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of meetings and people were like, well, when you move here?
Yeah.
When you move here? Then we can talk. And then I was like, I think most people go, well, that makes no sense, because you don't really get paid for stand-up, which is was my main income source in the UK. Mm. But then I just decided to... It was in the end of 2016. I was trying to book gigs at some venues in the UK, and I found it harder to book gigs than 5 years earlier when I was worse at comedy.
Really?
So I went, in my head, I went, well, that's something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I could have looked at myself. maybe I'm not any better. But then I thought, this doesn't make any sense. So, and I always wanted to be in America, and I always wanted to do more writing and acting and that stuff. And I just thought I was thinking in the UK, like, people, you only get one chance to make a first impression. And I kind of grew up as a comedian and performer in the UK. So people are kind of, oh, I've seen him. But then come to America, kind of, when you know yourself a bit more.
That's interesting. What's your first, may I ask, hope and have, I'm sure, but what is it, in that case, you hope your first impression here is?
I don't, like, it's someone who's good.
But as in, you don't want them to think of you as a stand-up?
No, like, here, what I feel here is you can be a bit of everything.
Yes.
And that's quite, like, true. People quite like that. Like, to do stand-up, come up with TV ideas, write voiceover, blah, blah. In the UK, I feel it's more like, oh, you're the guy that does that.
Yes.
And so people would be, oh, it's just a stand-up, even though I acted in, like, something. But I just, yeah, I think, like, even Hannah, who's a trained actor, we started writing together. In the UK, I feel like in the acting scene, more so than the comedy scene especially, they're like, oh, you're an actor.
You know, you can't really,
you're whatever. It's, whereas here, they're like, cool, we want to... What was this someone said to me? And this is a big simplification, but UK, you say something to someone, they're like, why? And in the UK, in the US, it's why not?
Yeah. Anyway, so... Oh, shit, I forgot to tell you something. Oh, fuck, it's really bad that I didn't tell you this when you got here.
What's that?
Oh, shit, I should have said this up front. Fuck. Oh, I don't know how you're going to take it. I'm sorry, I should have said it when you got here. I'll just say it. Well, fuck, okay. You've died?
Ah.
You've died.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So sorry.
At least I don't have to pay for an Uber back. We're a bit far out. Okay. And you know how much I love money.
How did you die?
I actually think, I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be car-based.
Right.
Because you've driven in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They're bad drivers. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll actually be my fault. I think I'll be in a car.
Yeah.
And I'll get killed in a road rage accident caused by my wife sitting next to me in the car, honking my horn and shouting at someone on my behalf.
Shit.
Because it happens way too much. You can cut me up as much as you want, and I will keep my mouth shut and my windows closed. But she doesn't do that.
Right.
And especially when I'm driving, it's the worst. She's honked my horn before when I'm driving and called someone an arsehole. And then they've, like, started. And I'm just like 10-2 at the wheel. Just like, please don't come.
She goes, she has her own opinions. And good luck to her.
Yeah.
And I would never step in the way of them, but they do not reflect my own.
You should have a feature in a car where you could press a button and just break off. The front side could just, like, a little motorbike sidecar. I can just zoom off and leave her on her own.
Shit.
I feel like that isn't far off what might happen.
So you'll get cut up by someone. She'll hold the horn. And then someone will stop their car, get out and shoot you.
Shoot me, I think shoot.
Through the windscreen. Into your
head. And she'll be fine. And she'll have to live with the fact that was her fault.
Do you think it will stop her honking other people's horns?
I don't. If anything, it's going to make her even angrier.
Yeah. Do you think she'll keep honking on while you're bleeding to death? Yeah.
No, I'll collapse on the horn, like dead, head on it, and be while she's still calling the guy an arse. I mean, if she thought he was an arsehole for cutting me up, you can only imagine how big a dick she thinks he's going to be for shooting me.
How quickly do you think she'll remarry?
Pretty quick. Do you know what I was thinking of? Like,
yeah, I know that you thought about it.
I was thinking, how many attractive people are there who are probably better people to go out with than me? And then there's a lot in LA.
In LA.
I feel like I was in somewhere more remote, maybe longer, but I feel like there's a lot of options here.
Yeah.
It's a cramped city. She's going to bump into someone.
Yeah. She'll be fine, really.
Yeah.
So in a way...
I mean, if anything, it's a blessing in disguise.
She keeps honking. I think she's
in cahoots with the old road rage dudes. Yeah.
Right, wow. Okay, do you worry about death? I mean, you should now.
I should. I think I do, actually.
Do you?
I think I do. Because I live quite a healthy lifestyle, and I realise that's born a lot out of fear of death.
Oh, is it?
The other way I thought I might die is of cancer, due to the fact that I do all of the precautions to not get cancer. And, well, the world's a funny place. And I thought I might, do you know what I mean? Like, I eat vegan. Okay. It's also started off as a health thing, but it's kind of, it's also moved as an age towards, I feel bad for the animals. And I've got a dog now, so I feel really bad. I don't know. Yeah. So there's that. Then it's health-based to start with. Eating, I don't smoke. I feel like I'm always, get those antioxidants on board. So I feel like, ironically, I might get cancer and die. So that's nice. That's a nice way to start. So I'm going to get killed by a road rage, angry guy, but in a way he's just done me a favour because I had a terminal illness at that point.
But you didn't know about it from
I didn't realise about it because I just assumed I was so healthy, I was fine. So I think I do fear it. And
you're eating a lot of tofu with antibiotics in.
Is there a lot of antibiotics in tofu?
No.
Oh, but is that good? That's bad for you, right?
I don't know. I just read things that say no antibiotics in this food, and I think, what?
Yeah, but they use them to cure yourself when you're ill.
It's a confusing world.
But it's not when it's administered through tofu.
Yeah.
If it's through tablet form, it's good for you.
But don't take it with your mushrooms.
Don't take it with your shrooms, mate. So I do fear it a bit, yeah.
Have you always feared it, or has it got worse?
I feel like with age, it's got a bit, I don't know, how old are you?
Old enough.
All right. I'm 32. I'll say my real age. I'm not afraid. I am a bit afraid. But when I...
But in LA, LA times, you're 24.
I'm 24. But I'm married, so that makes me 58.
Right.
Because no one's married in Los Angeles. No one's married, like, below 40 in LA.
Yeah, that's weird, that.
Yeah, because everyone's waiting for the next best thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, you met my wife. She's nice.
She's the next best
angry,
thing.
Angry.
Yeah.
But nice. So I was like, let's marry her. Because I was like, I will not do better than that.
I think you're absolutely right.
Thank you for confirming that. For confirming my worst fears. So
was that your wedding vows?
Yeah.
I will never do better than this.
I will never do better. We don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And I'm... as well, I looked just past her head for the whole of the ceremony. I just keep my eye on the priest.
Please stay with me. Please
stay. Please stay.
Please stay.
Please don't break my heart. Please don't break my heart. Yeah, so... No. Last year... yeah, that wasn't far off, the tone of it. That's what I was saying. It was the subtext of my vows. We didn't write our own vows.
Right.
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah, that's a big gig. It's like an Edinburgh show.
I think, and the idea of it's nice, but then the reality is quite difficult.
Also, I've seen people write their own vows when the first person goes, and then you realise that the second person's going, oh, fuck, I didn't do that
much
work.
It's hard to follow that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always go first.
I really just, it was a couple of jokes. That was a real, oh, that was beautiful. Oh, shit. And then they have to wing it.
Yeah, you have to.
I really love you.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, I had so many good punchlines. I'm going to have to drop now and be all sincere. Yeah, the priest just, he actually thought my name was Richard on the day.
Oh, fantastic.
Call me Richard at the altar. And he was the guy who copied his
vows. You're not married. Richard.
I corrected him, but I don't know what the legalities of that are.
Did you correct him? He went Richard and you went Chris.
Well, it's funny because I saw him the morning of the wedding. I saw him in the street because it's where Hannah's from, her town, Pennycook. I saw him and I went, all right, mate. I went, all right, I didn't call him mate. I said, just so casual. Oh, I thought, my son, looking forward to the wedding this afternoon. No, but I was like, all right, father. And I could see in his eyes, he didn't know who I was. Yeah. And that was the morning of our wedding. And then at the altar when he called Richard, my worst fears were confirmed.
did he go, Richard? And you went, Chris.
Chris, I saw you earlier. I need to know. I had to say it was Chris, yeah.
Did everyone laugh?
All my stag do especially laughed because on my actual stag do, I was too messed up from the first night. On the second night, I didn't go out. And I literally went home and everyone was like, I couldn't believe it. I felt so rough. I just stayed in the house in the countryside. They all went out and my friend Rick Peters became the honorary stag.
Oh, okay.
So it was Richard Stag. So completely by chance, I'm pretty sure the priest wasn't privy to this.
Was he
also
stag,
called me Richard. No, he wasn't on the stag. That's why he had a dead look in his eyes. He didn't want to bring back the memories. That's why it was especially funny when he called me Richard.
How was your stag day?
It was just really fun, but I got too excited on the first night. Jaeger bombs and stuff and other stuff. Other stuff that's bad for you. It was really good, but it was too much. Too much. I feel like on a lot of stag day, I called Hannah on the second day at 9 p.m. when I'd gone home, and just I want to come home. I feel that's a lot of men think on a stag do.
Yeah.
They always think, owie! And after about 2 hours of just eating crisps and shouting at men, you just want to go home to a woman that you like. Or a man, whatever you're into.
Either way.
Either way. So just to confirm, I am scared of dying.
Okay. Do you think there's an afterlife?
I'm an optimistic person, so I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether... It's nice to think there might be. But then is it nice? Is it not nicer to just think there's nothing and you just live your life to the maximum? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If you think, oh, I've got heaven coming, you might, well, I might just leave a bit in the tank for when I'm in heaven. You don't want to go too
I'm
hard
holding
too
back.
Soon.
I'm yeah. holding back.
You don't have too many beers because you want to be on good form for heaven. But then if there's no heaven, you do live.
It's like your stag do, like day two was death. There's
day
no
two
heaven.
Is death. Yeah,
you
that's
did it
what
all
I mean.
Day one.
I went out on my stag do, like, there was no
heaven.
There was no second day. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So I think there's something nice about being up there, but probably not. Is that like everyone's answer? I'm really hedging my bets here.
No.
I think there is one when I'm on a plane. That's about it.
Really?
I kind of, when it shakes a bit, I'm like, this is a check in. You have a little bit of, that's probably a god, maybe. I don't know. It gives you something to cling on to when you're scared on a flight. I started getting more scared of planes as I got older.
Where you
and heights.
Oh, go on.
I don't know. I think you just like, maybe you have more stuff you care about in life. When you're like in 20,
yeah, you've done shit, more. Right? I do think there's a part of that where I definitely feel that I've sort of put too much effort in now. You know what I mean? Like to die now, it's like, oh, but I've fucking done all this groundwork.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying.
Yeah,
you haven't finished
sort of
that pitch.
Yeah.
You know, like what happens to it?
Yeah.
Is it the idea dead? No one's going to pick it up.
Yeah.
And you've got. Like,
I don't want people going through my early drafts of stuff. You know what I mean? I need to lock that down.
Yes, your Facebook account. That's a worry. Are you still on Facebook?
Yeah, that's a worry.
Yeah, that is worrying. I want to shut it down. Have you ever tried to leave Facebook?
Is it like trying to leave the gym?
No, yeah. It literally goes. It go. I did it once. They went. All right. Well, then we'll just leave everything. We'll just leave it all. We'll just leave it just as it is. Just in case you want to come back. And a week later, I was like, great. It's all about that. They know. They know you're coming back.
Fuck.
It's like, yeah. When you move out of your mum and dad's, we won't turn into a spare room yet. And then when you've got no money and you can't afford rent, they're like, it's just as you
We
want.
Knew you'd come back. Yeah. Hi, we Jeff.
Knew, yeah, hi. Sorry. Facebook, I'm back.
Good news.
Yeah, what's the good news?
There is an afterlife.
Oh, great.
So you didn't need to drink all the beer.
Okay, great.
And there's a heaven, and they are obsessed with films out there. You can have anything you want, but all they want to talk to you about is your life through film. Do you like films?
I really like films.
Yeah?
Does anyone not like...
Yeah.
Has anyone been on this and not like...
Yeah, quite a few. Surprising
really?
Amount.
Really?
Well, a surprising amount of people who, like, don't really watch them anymore.
Right.
And just
what
watch
they
TV.
They're watching, like, series...
Box
like,
sets and stuff.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
Or go, yeah, I just don't really go to the cinema anymore. Like, part of my mission from God is to get people to go to the cinema. Do you still do this?
Do you know what? I go through phases of it, and then the other day I went twice in a day.
Great.
It's a new Lego movie in the morning,
yeah,
which I really liked. Even though everyone's like, it's not the first one, but it's still... Yeah. The guys that write that, it's so tightly written, and yeah, just hits all the nice points I like out of them. And also watch the Liam Neeson film.
Cold Pursuit. How is it?
I like... He'll come back up into my heavenly movies, Liam Neeson. It was the week after he'd said something a bit that was semi-controversial. Some people didn't like what he said. A lot of people didn't like it. It was an interesting film, actually, because I thought it was going to be a standard Liam Neeson. Do you know anything about it?
All I know is it's a weird revenge film.
Yes, that's right. It. Are you going to watch it or not?
If you think it's good.
Yeah, it we watched it. It's five of us that watched it, and three of us quite liked it, and two really didn't like it or get it. Okay. But it was kind of... It starts off like you think it's a normal Liam Neeson film, and there's loads of dark... It's Scandinavian director, I think, based on a Scandinavian film. So, you know, it's going to have that kind of quirky kind of humour that those people that live in the dark have for 18 hours of the day or whatever. And there's really funny moments in it, and it becomes almost like a kind of Coen brothers-y piss take of a Tarantino style. It's very odd.
Right,
it's got it's not so overt. That's what I think a couple of people it wasn't like an overt piss take.
Right.
But it was just kind of a quirky sideswipe at those films.
Interesting.
So I quite liked it. Yeah, I quite liked it.
I might see it.
Yeah, check it out. It's different to what you think it's going to be. I had no idea what it was going to be. I just thought it was going to be a normal Neeson. Why? One of those films. You know what I mean? That says it all.
Yeah.
That should be the trailer. Just why? And then him in a long coat. Old man in a long coat. That's one of the beauties of going into the acting thing as a man.
Yeah.
Which is more equal. You and me could be 65.
Just
and we could still be the star of an action film.
Yeah.
And you don't get that if you're a
why?
Woman. Just why? Just over a body, holding a body.
Yeah.
And that's the whole film. You know what the film is after.
Why?
No! It's so much fun to do that. Shout it up into the sky. So yeah, that was the thing. I hadn't actually been for a while since before that, but I do like, and I like plane movies. Like,
yeah.
I was so tired on the way to Florida, but I was like, free movies.
Yeah,
I watched
that.
Two both ways. Klansman as well. That Klansman one.
Black Klansman.
Thought it was all right.
Loved that film.
You loved it?
Love it.
Okay. Not enough happened for me. I'm kind of annoying with films, actually, I've realised. I've got quite a short attention span.
Right.
So I need stuff.
Why?
I need every 10 minutes. No! You've got to be kidding me! You will discover that I do like action films a lot.
Okay. What is... Here's the question.
Yeah, ask me the questions.
They want to know.
What do the fans want to know?
The very first film that you remember seeing?
This is a difficult question, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because I don't have... I don't have a memory. I can't remember. Can I put a couple in there that are in my mind as early movies for different reasons? One is The Witches, the Roald Dahl one.
Fucking great film.
Because that was...
Nicholas Rogue.
I would have been 4 years... I remember being in the cinema and being really... All I remember is being really scared of... Didn't they turn one of the kids into a rat?
Into a mouse.
Into a mouse.
Yeah.
And I remember that and how scary the witches looked.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that in the cinema, so I must have been 4. And that's quite a scary thing.
Really scary film.
4. So I remember that. I think that might have been the first cinematic thing I can remember. I also remember... This is such a weird film, but I always had the... Recorded VCRs when you record them off the TV, the movies.
Yeah.
And yes. I remember, it must have been later in my life, but I remembered, because I think it came out early to mid 90s. But I distinctly remember a movie called True Identity of Lenny Henry.
I saw that at the cinema, I believe.
I didn't think anyone, no one has ever known this movie, but I remember having it and watching it at least 5 times because I used to be obsessed with like the idea of comedy and funny people. So Lenny Henry was like, I just thought it was so funny. That film, that I haven't watched it as an adult, but I would love to watch that again because it's so. I guess it's not right. The premise is he's a guy on a plane tells him he is a mafia boss who they thought was dead because they think the plane's going to crash. Tells it to Lenny Henry. The plane obviously doesn't crash, so Lenny Henry knows this guy and his mafia buddies are going to kill him. So he gets his. He's an actor in the movie.
Yeah.
So he gets his makeup artist friend to turn him into a white man.
Yeah.
And he looks like... It's like the original White Chicks.
White Chicks, yeah.
The white dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I remember that. I can't remember if it... Is it any good? Have you seen
it? I haven't seen it since it came out. I know that it sort of notoriously was not a success.
Yeah.
And that it... I think that was sadly the end of his film career.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was like, maybe he could be... an Eddie Murphy or something, an English Eddie Murphy.
Right.
But then that film did not work. I saw it when I must have been so fucking young when I saw it.
Yeah.
But I remember, I fucking loved Lenny Henry. I still do.
Yes.
I was very excited to see it, but I haven't seen it since. I'm sure it's probably not very good, but I would love to see it.
Have you got to work with Lenny Henry as an adult?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have as well. It's weird, isn't it?
Because
I remember, but you kind of just take it in your stride when you become a stand up. I did a couple of gigs and he's so nice.
Oh, he's great.
Such a nice guy.
I couldn't believe it. At first, I was emceeing a gig and he came and tried stuff and I introduced him. I said, next time we've got a new act come and try some stuff. Please welcome.
That's funny.
Lenny fucking
Did he come
Henry.
On in his white face mask?
Yeah, and everyone was like,
his True Identity. That's what I remember. I wanted to be like, oh, mate, I used to love watching True Identity, but I was aware, I think at that point, that it wasn't a good, like...
Yeah, maybe.
So he would have been like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, don't bring up something that affected an avenue stream of money for me in America.
I remember when you had that really terrible time.
Remember when your career was dead for 2 years? That was one of the highlights of my childhood, actually. So, yeah, those two are in my head as early... And I'm sure, like, cartoons like the Peter Pan where he's a fox. No,
Robin Hood
where he's a fox. Sorry, yeah. Peter, where he's a fox. I remember watching that a lot as a kid.
Love that film.
That was a good film, right?
Really good film. The best Robin Hood.
Best Robin Hood. Better than
Prince of Thieves?
Yeah, different stuff. Just. Prince of Thieves, I remember a lot of watching that as a kid. Which again is like, it's quite dark stuff in that. A bit where someone's hanging. Is it his dad's hanging?
Yeah.
Dead.
There's hanging
people. In an empty...
I'm going to out him now on this. My cousin Jamie, who's much older than me, when I was very young, he was supposed to babysit me. And he turned up and my mum and dad went out and he went, come on, let's go to the cinema and see Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And I was like, yes, please. But it turned out he was on a date. And so I sat next to him and attractive
How
woman.
Old are you here?
I don't know how old I was. I must have been, you know, young.
Yeah, and, below 10.
Yeah, and I sat and watched Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It was the best night of my life. And he just snogged the girl.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So he used you as the cover to do some...
Yeah, and maybe to make it look like, look at me, I'm so sensitive.
Such a nice guy.
Look, I'm looking after this kid.
Was it when the cinemas had the old double seats?
No, it was pre-double seats.
So the double seats at the back row, the Hammersmith Odeon.
Oh, yeah?
When I was a kid, I didn't realise that, and I realised that's where you go and snog at the back. It's a weird thing.
No, don't.
People don't do that anymore, do they?
Yeah,
it's a weird.
That's people have sex in screening in Croydon.
That's Croydon, I know.
Yeah,
it's like Mad Max down there.
So you watch True Identity? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me.
Do you watch films with her?
Yeah, I think so. We're so different as people.
Right.
We get on fine. We spoke the other day on the phone, but we have nothing in common. Right. So, but when I was a kid, I think I was a bit of a dick, actually. I think I used to bully her.
Oh, Chris.
Which doesn't seem like me now,
does it?
But I think, I don't know how, I remember her throwing some plates at me once, but I feel like I started it.
You threw some forks.
Yeah, I threw some sausages and some peas and some shit. Yeah, so, but we did used to watch stuff like that together, I think, back in the day. I can't remember anything before I was about 10. Okay. Some people have got amazing recall for this. I don't remember a lot. I'm not very, sorry, I'm a terrible guest.
Don't be ashamed.
Get somebody else on.
What is the film that made you cry the most?
Do you know, I'm a massive crier.
Okay.
I cry at the most... obvious, just someone's gone, we're going to put this in to make people cry. Like anything. I cried at the end of Spin City, the TV show, when Michael J. Fox stepped down and Charlie Sheen replaced him.
Yeah, of course you did. That was beautiful.
Really? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
All right. I feel like that's just a cry in a TV show. I feel like like Pixar would love me because I'm crying every time on an hour and 30 minutes into their films. But do you know what film I remember? You know when you watch one as a kid and you're like, all right, I cried because I was younger. Or you watch it, it's really sad. Mm-hmm. But then when you watch it as an adult and then you think, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't cry. But when Rufio dies in Hook, oh my God. I watched it. It just does. I'm like watching it, but he doesn't need to die.
Yeah.
He's learned his lesson.
Yeah, that's it.
He's learned his lesson.
Why are we punishing him?
Why are we punishing? He's accepted... Robin Williams. Robin Williams has got in touch with his childlike side again.
Everyone's forgiven
him. Everyone's forgiven him. It's a kid's film.
Yeah.
But I guess you've got to teach kids about death or something, but like... Rufio.
Rufio.
And then would cry again when he gave the swords to the... what's the kid's name? The tub... It's called like Thumper. Short,
Thumper?
Chubby... Thumper, yeah. That guy who does the really fun thing where he turns himself into a little
somersault
cannibal and rolls down.
Yeah, yeah.
But Rufio, because also you're watching him going, I hate that guy. And then he's just like, he's great. He's come through the other side, bad to good, negative to positive. And then he dies. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's making me feel emotional retelling it.
Do you cry in normal life or just at films?
My wife, Hannah, gets kind of annoyed at me because I show more... I feel like in an argument when I should be crying, or I should be really emotional, because I hate conflict. All I'm doing is just chill, get to the end of this conflict. But then when I'm like either watching Arsenal or watching a movie, and I just like, she's like, "But this doesn't make any sense." But I think maybe it's a weird repressed guy thing where you're like, "Well, don't cry," but then you just bottle it up, and then a film just pushes it out of your system.
Yeah.
So I don't do it as much as she would like. She got annoyed that I didn't cry. This is the thing that comes up all the time. When she walked down the aisle on our wedding day, I remember seeing her and being like, oh my God. And so I like turned away because I was like going to cry.
Mm.
I didn't burst into tears, but I kind of stopped it. And then we had a great wedding, blah, blah, blah. And then every wedding since, she'd be like, oh, look, Chris is crying over there. And I didn't clock it till like wedding four. I was like, are you annoyed that I didn't cry on our wedding? She's like, well, I was like, I can't believe this. This is, I could go back in time, I would put an onion under my fucking eyes and cry on my wedding day to avoid.
At the moment you're about to fucking cry, some cunt calls you Richard. Of course you're not crying.
I'm like, Richard? What?
Of course you're not crying.
I met you and now look, you're going to cause me fucking arguments for the next 5 years. Father Tad, that was his name.
Was it?
Polish.
You Father had enough Tad. Respect to learn his name.
Learn his name. Didn't call him Ted. That would have been easier.
Yeah, much easier.
That would have been an easier thing for a racist. I'll call you Ted, mate. Yeah. Tad. Tad. And I didn't, so he messed up not only the most important day of my life, but
the rest of it.
The next 3.5 years.
Yeah, fuck. What is the film that scared you the most?
I have a weird thing where it's really repressed, but I've never watched Aliens properly. Because I remember like seeing...
Why?
Why? Because I remember seeing it and just being freaked out in like a bit by the alien. It's so gross and scary. So the point where, like, it kept going, I don't want to watch that because I used to hate scary films. I don't like being scared. Hannah loves them. She's been in some scary films, which I've had to watch.
Oh, great. How was that? What's that like?
It was all right, although we went to a premiere of one, and it's on Netflix, I think, called, Prey, what's it called? Shit.
Oh. Eat, Pray, Love, that is a horrible
film. No, that's a horrible film to watch. Let Us Pray. It's called Let Us Pray.
Okay.
Let Us Pray. I think it's on Netflix. But the first, I watched the premiere of her, and she's a cop in it, with the guy cop she's with, and in the first scene, they're fucking in a car.
How was that, Chris?
Not great. Premiere? Not great.
How did you?
Well, I just met the guy, who I've met since, and he's nice enough, right? But it's kind of weird.
How is it?
I'm curious.
I don't think I've...
It's actually fine, because I do actually 100%, surprisingly, I trust my wife. Even though she's trying to kill me in a road rage framed accident. No, it's a bit odd. It wasn't super graphic, so it was all right. But it was funny because she'd gone like, oh, when she got the script, like, do you have any problems? I'm like, no, it's fine. But then when you're like watching it on a big screen, she's having a great time. She's having a right old time. And I have to
Does she look like she's having a better time than normal? Is that there?
Yeah, I mean, we've never done it in a car. We've never done it in a car. I can't do it in a car because. Do you know? Here's a weird tangent, but sort of related. This sounds weird because you have a really funny bit of stand up where I saw you here like last year talk about sex and how the idea of sex, you can really never be bothered to do sex until you. And then when you start doing it, you're like, oh my God, this is so great. We should have done this. But that is so accurate to my emotions of sex that now when that happens, I always think of you. Because I'm always like, this is great. And then I'm like, oh, that's what Brett, oh, what am I thinking about Brett now? So in a way, I'm making love to you.
So
I feel like we're even. She had sex with a different man.
And every time you're having sex, you're thinking of me.
I'm thinking of Brett Goldstein's stand-up material. Do you still do that as stand-up? It's so accurate.
I'll bring it back. The hump. I'll bring it back.
It's so accurate about having sex. You just, it's so much effort. You've got to take your clothes off. You've got to get cleaned up afterwards. But when you start doing it, you're like, this is great. We should just,
why aren't I always doing
it? Why don't you do this 4 times a day? So, what was the question? Scary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what was it like watching... the question was, you don't like horror films. Then you went to see your wife in a horror film. It's the beginning, she's having sex. Yeah. That threw you for a bit.
I'm actually not very jealous or anything, I don't think. So I actually think it's all good.
How's the scary stuff?
Scary stuff is... I'm a jumper, so I'll jump a lot, and there's a few jump moments in it, and I don't like gross stuff.
No.
Really gruesome, gross stuff, and there's a few gruesome bits in there. But it was a good film, so I think when it's a good enough film, I can kind of get by with it. And recently I've been getting better at I've been trying to get better, because it's making a good comeback horror, right?
Yeah, I think it always is.
It's always popular. It's the easiest type of film to get funded, right, because there's always an audience for it. But, sound like Empire magazine there, didn't I? somebody's married to an actor. I'm trying to get. But I watched the new It.
Yeah.
And I thought that was all right, but it made me jump a lot.
Okay.
I quite like it. Was kind of a Stranger Things vibe with the kids, which yeah. I quite liked. But yeah, in terms of like really Aliens, so I still never watched Aliens. Is something about it freaked me out. Mm. And then my friend would always go, "You're not going to watch Aliens, it's scary." And then I got to a point where I was like, "No, I don't want to watch it." And then I know it wouldn't even be that scary.
Yeah.
And there'd probably be a lot of stuff that I like. Why? No! So I've never seen Alien. No. I got put off by the imagery of it.
That's fair.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay. What is a film that most people don't like? Critically, it is not acclaimed, but you are like, this film is brilliant, and you're all dicks.
I quite like Rocky V.
Rocky V, where he's quite old.
The one where he's
got sort of brain damage, and in the trailer he goes, in the ring, tell him you want to fight, in the ring, and he goes, my ring's outside.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one, yeah.
Rocky V.
That's the one. It's the one that Sylvester Stallone, when asked about Rockies, he ranked them and he wouldn't even put five in the list.
Really?
Because I think it was on Graham Norton or Jonathan Ross, and he was like, because Balboa had just come out, I like all the Rockies.
Yeah.
And I remember him going, hey, I don't think that's worth being on, you know. And I was like, come on, mate. And I watched it again and I was like, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's him. In a way, you kind of got to have that, because otherwise, it's just, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a fight in the ring like every? Yeah, he's already done four of them.
Sometimes the ring's got to be outside.
Sometimes, mate, you got an alfresco ring. Come outside.
That was the big twist.
And also the twist that I guess the thing that you don't realise is quite exciting about the other ones is there is normally some form of belt or official.
Yeah,
it's weird. Look, humans maybe like rules and structure. So at the end, he sort of just wins a street fight against Tommy Gunn, and you're like,
With your hands. Say you only fight with your hands. My hands on the end of my arms. Okay, let's go.
But I like all. So I watched it. I was like, no, it's not. I think because it's talked about like it's so shit that when you watch it, it's not as good as the other ones. But it's still decent.
How good are the Creeds? Answer: very good.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second one yet. I want to see.
Very good.
Is it good? I can imagine it's good.
They make quality. I mean, it's a quality made sports movie.
He's done so well for himself with that.
Mm-hmm.
And people just think, oh, Rocky. But Rocky is such a revelation of a film, the first one.
Yeah.
He wrote it, starred in it, turned down all the money.
Sold his dog. Got his dog back.
Didn't he, like, write it in? He just blacked out his windows and wrote it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He went three days or something. Well, yeah, he chatted to someone.
Came out in the lake.
He came out and was just like,
where have you been?
On a typewriter as well back then, it would have been,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, yeah.
That was it, when some guy in passing said to him, if you've got anything I can read, I'd love to read it. But just do you know, I had an interesting, here's an interesting Hollywood story I heard through someone related to Sylvester Stallone. Someone I was staying with out here, who's an actor, older guy, was with all
those. Sylvester Stallone?
Sylvester. That's why I'm plugging Rocky V.
Okay.
He wants to get those residual checks coming through his store. Buy it on DVD, guys, still available, and Blu-ray. Also on iTunes. This older guy was an actor, he was in a TV show over here, but he was friends with Sylvester Stallone and Henry Winkler. And, like, Henry Winkler was going in for the audition for the Fonz.
Yeah.
And Sly speaks like, hey, hey, you. And he went, oh, the way he talks, like, I think it would be really good for his character. Can I kind of use some of that, like, hey, kind of stuff, like, that kind of. And he went in and did it. If you think about it, the Fonz is quite like it.
The Fonz is rocking.
Hey, yeah, it's like Sylvester Stallone talking. Hey, that's cool. Hey, Richie. Yeah, that's all he did. He just changed the names. It makes sense. It might be bollocks, but it makes sense.
I hope that's true.
Let's say it's a fact.
Sylvester Stallone has done so much for modern culture.
He's done a lot. He's done
Rocky
a lot.
Rocky and the Fonz.
Not a conventionally good-looking guy, but plays a lead in Manuel.
Say what you like about the Fonz, but if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know how to dress.
It's true. You love a leather jacket.
Leather jacket, T-shirt, jeans.
T-shirt, jeans.
Me and the Fonz.
That is true. He's a real trendsetter.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Stadtsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. What is the film that you used to love? You loved it so much.
Yeah.
And you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh, no, I don't like this anymore. What happened?
I think Rush Hour.
Oh, interesting. Why so?
Have you watched that recently?
No, I have not watched it
quite
recently.
Quite racist.
I watched it when it came
quite
out.
Quite racist, actually.
Okay.
But, like, at the time you think it's like, because I love buddy cop
yeah.
stuff. And it's, you know, it's a classic buddy cop. But, like, Chris Tucker does say in the movie over four times how alike Asian people look in a yeah. friendly way. Y'all look alike, he says that.
In a friendly way. But with a smile.
With a smile. Y'all look alike. And he's not white, so it's okay. But it's one of those, I think, I don't know, I have had so many of those 90s films on DVD.
Yeah.
And when I rewatched Lethal Weapon the other day.
Yeah.
And that is amazing, and it stands up, and it's like such a good film.
Love the Lethal Weapon.
I love them. They're so good. The Always Sunny, like, have you seen them make...
Greatest love story ever told, Lethal Weapon, if you ask me. Ask me.
What's the greatest love story ever told?
Lethal Weapon.
Oh, what? Yeah. And do you know what, though? When I watched the first one, especially, because Shane Black fully wrote that.
Yeah.
Because all those tropes of, like, cheesy lines that I kind of like in films, but that one doesn't have any of that. It's like...
Lethal Weapon's very heavy.
The guy's committing suicide. At the time, imagine that at the time. That was an unusual thing, but it's also funny. It's so good. So then when you watch those Rush Hours in the 90s, you think, oh, they're all kind of following that pattern, but it's just not good. Mm. It's not good. I think it's because in my head I used to love it. Yeah. And so I watch. I bet there's obviously worse films that haven't stood up to. Yeah, Rush Hour, I don't know. I know there's going to be way worse films, but I just thought I'd rewatch them.
No, that's a good
answer.
It's
not much of a story. It's sort of the two of them becoming mates when they shouldn't. I used to be obsessed with Jackie Chan. I used to like martial arts stuff, but that isn't that good.
Do you do martial arts?
I did a free group on 10 sessions here, but I didn't renew because my sensei was called Keith. And I couldn't, because everyone was calling him, yes, sensei. And I went, what's your name? And he said, Keith. And I went, I can't come back again. Can't have a sensei.
Sensei Keith.
Sensei Keith in Burbank. It was good. It was good value. $50 for 10 sessions.
Sensei Keith is a great name for a comedy film.
It does feel like Sensei Keith.
Sensei Keith is a really good, funny...
He was brought up... Here's the pitch, right?
Yeah.
This is the 80s.
Go for it.
He's a white baby who got... I don't know. He got... Someone lost him in Shanghai.
Right.
And he got taken off into the mountains.
Yeah.
And he's raised by senseis who are all authentically Asian.
Yeah.
But his name's Keith. He's still got his baby tags.
Are you... Keith. This is you making this up?
This is...
Or this is his life story?
This is my pitch for the film.
I thought this was really Keith. I was like, I'm buying the life rights.
I wondered why you looked so mesmerised, but you're like, what? This is crazy. This can't be real. And it's not real, mate. But this is a film. Like all
and you said you don't like biopics.
That's the best biopic
this
ever.
This is amazing.
He's raised by senseis in the mountains of China.
Yeah.
Or we'll go China.
Okay.
I started this topic talking about how a film's racism upset me, and I've got more and more racist as it's gone on. But yeah, that feels like an 80s movie, doesn't it? Like, there was the Beverly Hills Ninja, there's that one.
Yeah.
That's 90s, though. But I feel a lot of those 80s films... I feel like coming up with films in the 80s was that would have been the most cocaine-fueled, fun pitching room ever.
Yeah.
You just take someone, you put them out of place, you put a tiny twist on it.
You name them, Keith.
Sylvester Stallone is a truck driver, but he's also really good at arm wrestling.
Yeah.
And he's got some weights in his truck. Over the top. Decent movie.
Decent movie.
But Sensei Keith, that's a movie.
Right. Hollywood, if you're listening,
That's why I'm here. That's really why I've been pitching. Nice. I've been pitching it for 2 years, mate. I'm struggling to get funding at the moment, but...
I'm shocked. Okay, what is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but because of the story you associate with seeing that film.
This will be kind of sweet in a way, in a weird way, but call back to what we've been talking about, Taken, actually.
Right.
Due to the fact that when...
I once kidnapped a woman.
Due to the fact that me and Liam Neeson used to hang out in Northern Ireland, walking parks in the 70s together. No, because when I met Hannah in Edinburgh Festival, we were kind of set up by Pete Johansson and his wife, who's another comedian. His wife Courtney, they were friends of her, friends of me. But we met up and I got told about this girl, I think you'll be a really good match. And that was like when I'd never gone out with anyone before. I'd been very single. And that was at the time where just before Tinder, but I always get set up with someone, you'd look them up on Facebook, you'd preach.
Never gone out with anyone.
Never, like, had a relationship.
Right.
Had gone out. I didn't just invite girls over for pizza all the time. I had gone out with
someone. So you've been putting it about?
I'd been single and, all that stuff.
Okay.
And a bit bored of that. And so I was like, oh, well, okay. No, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to make a connection with someone, and then
you were in fact a very romantic sort of long-term guy.
I was a romantic guy underneath it all.
Yeah.
So I remember distinctly, like I didn't even ask her name. I was like, oh, just when I meet her anyway. We met up on this night. It was a group, so it wasn't like one of those. You were on a date. We were just all hanging out and having a few drinks, and I guess from being single, you learn to try and keep it cool, play it cool if you like someone.
Yeah.
But subsequently, she told me, Hannah, that she thought I was so boring for the first 2 hours. Like, so this fucking guy doesn't say anything. He's just fucking weird. Some quiet bloke just not saying anything. And then, like, with about 15 minutes before I was going to go and stuff, we started talking about movies, and I started talking about the film Taken. She's like, I love Taken. And I was like, you love Taken. You're attractive and you like the movie Taken. And you're a lady. This is great. And then Taken 2 was about to come out. So we started talking about, oh, I've got Taken 2's going to be out. I'm going to watch it. Which subsequently we did watch together, and it's not that good. But we bonded over the movie Taken, and that made her then want to have a drink with me. And then on our wedding day, after I'd been called Richard.
Yeah, and hadn't cried.
Yeah, and hadn't cried. It had been going terribly. You can have, people have tables at their wedding, and they have different themes. So ours was action film theme, and the head table was Liam Neeson. Which now, after you said that stuff, I'm like, you know when people don't want to hate on their heroes because of their... I can't...
Because of your wedding.
I'm sort of in his corner. He's like, because... That's just my wedding day. Like, you know, when people like R. Kelly, like, if you had an R. Kelly...
Imagine if your fucking first song, was Ignition.
Oh, God, you just feel like...
You've got this video where you'd all done a choreographed routine to Ignition.
Tooting your horns and stuff. You're like, oh, God, mixing, whatever that means. Yeah, so for that reason, Taken. And also, Taken as a film.
Yeah.
And this is what a lot of action films miss now. It did so well because everyone thought it was going to be shit, but it was just like, such a good... 90-minute, just simple revenge. Guy's got some skills, some dumb stuff in it, but there feels like a burning desire, and it's not too technology-heavy, which some of these films are now. And you just, like, fully buy into it. And then Taken 2 and 3 were crap. But that first one, sleeper hit.
Yeah, it really was.
Sleeper hit.
Changed his life again.
And it changed my life.
That's a lovely answer, that is.
Is that a nice answer?
Yeah, that is a good answer.
Because you hear Taken, you go, what? But actually...
You've really made up for all the racism.
I still stand by Liam.
What's the sexiest film, Chris Martin?
I listened to, one of these and a couple others, and I can't believe... No one said Wild Things.
No.
How has no one said Wild Things?
I don't think anyone has. Someone mentioned it in real life the other day, and I was like,
Wild Things, for me, I don't know what, age was I when that came up, but it must have been as a teenager.
18?
So excited, mate, because you got to see a threesome scene.
Yeah.
Denise Richards, boobs out.
Mm-hmm.
She's so sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Neve Campbell, didn't see boobs, but I didn't mind that. It's her a bum. But I didn't mind that, because I still remember her from Party of Five, so I have those weird younger memories. But Denise Richards and her threesome, was it with Matt Dillon?
Matt Dillon.
And here's a weird point of that. This isn't the sexiest bit, but you know when you just have something really tattooed in your brain?
Yeah.
You know, that scene, remember it very clearly. You see her boobs, have a threesome. At one point, Matt Dillon takes her underwear off.
Yeah.
And I've never... I've never done this, but he takes them, but I want to for my amusement in a sexual situation. He takes them off, he folds them up and he puts them in his pocket and he has sex with her. It's really weird. And there's no like mention of that being on, but he takes off her underwear.
What, it never comes up again?
It never comes up again.
She doesn't go, where are my fucking pants?
She never goes, where are they? Or like during it. Did you just fold them up neatly and put them in your pocket? It's not even like a sexy, I'm going to take these.
Is
it's
he
like,
taking them for a murder
like
reason?
It's like Marie Kondo style folding. He's like, I want some.
Well, he's like, these are giving me joy.
These are giving me joy. This is where I get my real boner from. I was only at 50% before I folded these up. Yeah,
and it doesn't come up. It's not like never used mentions, as a clue in
never,
the murder.
Never part of the film again. It's a weird choice. Because actually, that was one of the questions, calling back to when Hannah was in that sex scene.
Yeah.
She went, do you mind if I do this? And I went, no, that's fine. I go, just out of interest. When you does anyone ever have actual sex in a sex scene? She went, yeah, in porn. That's when that happens. And that like, made me feel like an idiot. But then I have heard, there's a director.
Don't look now.
What's that?
Hang on, go on.
There is a that has happened in a
yeah, it's happened in a few of them.
In a few?
Well, there's a Gaspar Noé film called Love.
And he wants them to actually have
Real sex. And there's one called Romance that has it in. They've all got nice titles, all these proper sex ones. Yeah. And there's the film with Kerry Fox and Mark Rylance, and it's called, I can't remember what it's called.
Mark Rylance has actual sex.
Yeah, they had it's a very weird, I think there's a blowjob scene, real blowjob, and
really?
And I heard a story of having, and he's married, she's married, and I think they went out for dinner, the couples, to discuss it. It's like, can you imagine? I don't know how would you feel if you and your wife went out for dinner with your cast mates, and he says, just to discuss everything, just we're going to be having sex.
She's going to be sucking my penis for real. Yeah. Because I'm very method like that.
There is a subcategory to this question. I feel like you're not someone I'm worried to ask this question. Sometimes I am with some people. And the subcategory is troubling boners, worrying wide ones. A film you found arousing and you thought, maybe I shouldn't have.
I was thinking about this because I imagine a lot of people have said Jessica Rabbit.
No, that hasn't come up a lot.
Has it not come up? But
I think that's come up.
Well, but I feel like her being sexy is a thing that, because she's, I know she's a cartoon woman, but she is sort of,
she's
crafted to appeal to the
really fit.
Yeah, she's a decent cartoon. But do you know what one I thought was slightly more uncomfortable and weird? Is in Space Jam, the female rabbit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's
lovely.
She's like, you could have like Jessica Rabbit. Real rabbit, mate. I like me some real rabbit. Yeah, because I remember the same thing. She is
female Bugs Bunny, yeah.
She's female Bugs Bunny.
Like Garth, that's what Garth feels funny when he sees Bugs Bunny dressed up as a woman, do you remember?
In Wayne's World, that's very true, So I didn't even think that was the case. Yeah, so that, but then I feel like on that movie, if you're going to be worried about people's sexual tastes, I'm going to be the least of your worries, liking that with, who we've pre-referenced, R. Kelly, being the voice of that, the song.
Oh, the song, yeah.
So,
shame.
It's a shame. It's ruined that film as well. But yeah, she's an attractive cartoon
bunny.
Rabbit.
The thing is, they are attractive for some reason.
They are.
I get why you like the female bunny out of Space Jam.
What is it about them?
Big ears.
But it's not the big ears. I think it's something the little bun on the tail. It's quite like sexy. It's the sexiest of the tails.
Yeah, that's true. Because if it had a big long tail,
you wouldn't want that. That'd be disgusting.
Yeah,
but a nice little bun tail.
Maybe that's it. It's the bun.
Bun on the back. And the sort of little cute chubby cheeks.
Big eyes, bun on the back.
Big eyes, bun. Big eyes are sexy.
Yeah.
Big eyes, bun on the back. I quite like a little chubby cheeks.
Big eyes, chubby cheeks, bun on the back.
That's my favourite features on any organism. And a rabbit has them.
Rabbit has them.
In abundance. In abundance, mate.
What is the film that you most relate to?
This was like a weird one, right?
Yeah,
this is a hard one.
It is a hard one.
This is going to sound really odd. I don't know if it's going to sound odd. It's probably not. But I was trying to think about this. I was like, what did I at the time remember really relating to? Because I think now I'd be like, this is insane to relate to this. But did you ever watch the movie Girl Next Door with Alicia Cuthbert and the I forget the actor's name.
Emil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy. Emil Heskey.
Emil Heskey.
Yeah. He's really good in it. But I remember really. I think I was 18 at the time, or maybe 19, and I remember always single, always had loads of spots as a teenager, and I just really want. And I had. I think I was a virgin. I was virgin until I was 18, so I think I was still a virgin, and I just remember really wanting a really sexy girl, just a nice girlfriend.
Jack Bauer's daughter.
Jack Bauer's daughter, who lived really near me, so yeah. Enough to pay on my Oyster card. And I just remember him, like, he's like, and also, like, he's kind of looks way younger than her, and I was always kind of younger looking, went through puberty a bit late, so I always just, but he's kind of a fun, like, just fast forward, I had his little crew of mates, and then, even though she's a porn star,
yeah,
who then becomes, but then it was like, that kept, they had a really nice chemistry, and they became, like, best friends who were, that was the thing I always wanted, like, out of a relationship, was a, someone I think is really attractive, and like, best friend, and we have like a laugh together. Because I think, yeah, I'd always, because in a lot of films you don't always, I know, like, I'm romantic, but I never feel like you get that fun friendship stuff with, it's always like, hey, it's the girl of my dreams and I attain her, but you never got that, like, ah, oh, you guys are just like your best pals, and
yeah,
and I think I always at that time, that's what I wanted,
and that's what you've ended up with,
and that's what I've ended up with.
That's beautiful.
It's nice, isn't it?
That's really nice.
But it's a bit, obviously you've got a few more weird features, like,
it's got Timothy Oliphant, hasn't it?
What's that? And Timothy Oliphant trying to kill me, or trying to rip me off, because I've sort of taken his highest paid porn actress out of the equation, because she's found companionship and love with me.
It's very much your life.
It's very much my life.
What is the film that you think is the greatest film of all time? Not necessarily your favourite, but objectively the greatest film of all time.
Magnolia's close.
Fucking correct.
It's so good. Here's, it sounds like a really base way of deciding it's so good. It's 3 hours and it doesn't...
It's 15.
If I watch a film and it's over 2 hours, every film I watch, I'm like, it's 15 minutes too long.
Yeah.
It's 3 hours and it's so good. And it's got... The music is through it 98% of the time and it all feels right. It's so good.
Yes.
It's so good, objectively. So I feel like... Because I have like my little... It's still not the film I would watch again and again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've watched it like 3 times, and every time I'm like, every character in it is so good. It's so, it does everything, right? It's so cheesy, but it makes you cry, makes you laugh. It's a masterpiece, for lack of a better word.
It really is.
It feels like that's when you're like, this is art I'm watching.
Yeah.
And he's not really been able to, you know, can't.
I've watched it a lot, Magnolia, and it's fucking brilliant. I've watched it over the years, and it remains.
It remains great.
I think it's one of the ones better every time.
Because I haven't now watched it for a few years, so when I was thinking about it, I was like, I want to watch that.
I read up on, like, reviews of when it came out, and it got very mixed reviews.
Really?
And also a lot of people like, ah, oh, stupid, this fucking thing with the frogs. You watch it now and you go, how else was it meant to end, you idiots?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, like, perfect. Fuck, I love that film.
It's so good. It's Tom Cruise's best performance for me.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like he's not a fighter jet pilot, but he's it's everyone, and it's great. It's so good, and that's kind of ahead of its time with that Cruise character. I feel that kind of
it was
that guy now is like just so prevalent.
Yeah, that's very
kind
true.
Of alt righty. Women are fucking killing us. That guy, but yeah, it's
women
so
should good. All have buns on their back.
They should have buns and a bun, just fucking chubby cheeks and big eyes. Fucking rabbit women, man. I wish my wife was a rabbit.
I love that answer, and I don't know that it's been kind
of... Is it not?
Maybe. But I fucking love Magnolia.
It's correct. Great. It's good. Correct. I win.
What is the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
White Men Can't Jump.
Great.
It's so good. I said this earlier, so I love films where why is happening?
But you love buddy.
I love buddy because I feel like I was saying this to Carl recently. Me and Carl Donnelly are very good. Has he done this yet?
No, I know. I'm very, very excited for him to do it.
I think while drunk once with him, we had a nice thing about why are we good friends. And when I was when I grew up, I come from a very privileged background. But my dad was always working or drinking. My mum was kind of agoraphobic and had kind of depression. So. In a way, in my teens, I wasn't very close with them. I'm close with them, but I always thought like and then this sort of TV show Friends, whatever, was so seminal. But I did always think like my friends were like closer than my family in my teens, and I still got a lot of friends from school and university and, you know, comedy world. So I always kind of really resonated with like your friends being like your family, and I thought that film, that, you know, early 90s, two guys, different backgrounds, both wanting to do well out of life in their own sort of chaotic ways. And it's just got like, it's so funny as well.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And it's got Rosie Perez in it.
She's
talking
so good,
talking to sexy.
Yeah.
Beginning of that film, when you see her boobs, that's she's so sexy.
Putting his money where his mouth is.
Billy, I don't want you to give me a glass of wine. I want you to say I sympathize for your thirstiness. I want it.
I
don't know why that film food's beginning with the letter Q. One is a quahog. One is a quince. That's always in my head when she prepares for Jeopardy.
Yeah.
That film's great. It's got so many perfect little, you got things going well, things going badly. The language of it. Mm. They're doing a remake of it, I think.
Are they?
It's going to be bad, I'm sure.
That's
like Point Break, I turned that remake off after 5 minutes. I saw the way it was shot. I was like, this is going to be bad.
Yeah, I watched that on the plane.
It's so good. I think I've watched it over 50 times.
Good film.
And there's one where when I started going to have Hannah, she'd never watched it. I was like, got to watch this. She watched it. And she was like, I love it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Ron Shelton made it, who also made Bull Durham and Tin Cup. And I think Tin Cup is one of the great underrated.
Tin Cup gems. Is a great film. Although
sexy film.
I still kind of get, I'm like, just get it, just fucking lay up, man. You know when you see him do it, it's like, what, you've lost. You're an idiot. Lay up.
Yeah.
Stop going for that.
Not him.
I know it's not him.
It's not him, Chris.
It's one of those weird endings that I do kind of like it.
He's a sexy laid back guy. It's not him.
I do like a happy ending. And but then that's why it also, but he's similar in White Men Can't Jump. It's sort of not the ending for his relationship you want, but he gets him and Wesley become good friends.
And then become literal brothers in the film Money Train.
They become literal brothers in Money Train. They started off a little few years working together.
Yeah.
They should
get back together.
They should. Have you seen, this is not on your, I saw this the other day and I was so pleasantly surprised, Lost in London. Woody Harrelson's directorial debut.
Film.
Yeah.
Is it good?
I loved it.
Oh, great.
It's shot in one take. It was filmed live at the time, screened in cinemas around the world. And it's based on Woody Harrelson that night where he got in trouble in the press in London for sleeping with some hookers.
Oh, I don't know.
It was based on that, and it's based on his relationship with his wife. And it's just one shot, an hour and a half, and Owen Wilson's in it for a bit. It's great. It's so funny.
Oh.
It's really good.
Oh, that's sweet.
I loved it. But anyway, so, White Men Can't Jump. So when I walked down to Venice here, when I went down, I got so excited when I went to sit the basketball courts.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like that. There was some fast-talking black guys giving some shit to some white guys. It was great. This is amazing. Just sitting there waiting for someone to call me Brady Bunch. You Brady Bunch.
Seeing if anyone could jump. That's great.
What's that line? Your mama stuff. It's the best, your mama's.
Yeah.
Your mama's so fat she fell over, broke her leg and gravy poured out. Well, my favourite one is, your mama's so poor, I saw her kicking a can down the street. I said, what are you doing? She said, moving. It's great.
Great.
It's that. The first 5 minutes is that for 5 minutes. It's great.
Good film.
It's a great film.
We don't like to be negative, so we'll do it quick.
Okay.
What's the worst film you've ever seen?
There's a lot of bad ones, but I feel like, I'm sure I've seen worse films, but Transformers Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah.
Especially bad, because I went to watch that with Carl and his friends in the IMAX in London. We'd had a couple of drinks.
2 hours, 45 minutes, by the way. Carry on.
Yeah, but it's the perfect example of, I don't hate all, but this... I know it's not Marvel. Is it Marvel? It's not Marvel.
No.
But I hate these films now where the whole city gets blown up in a fight at the end. And I would describe the whole film as stuff punching stuff in the stuff. That's all it is. It's so long and bad. Because the first one was kind of good, right?
I didn't understand it.
I thought the first one was all right. I thought, because Shia LaBeouf, I know he's got his problem, but I think he's kind of...
Oh, he's a great actor.
He's good. Yeah. And the same with almost all Marvel films, like the first Avengers I quite liked. And then after that, I'm like, guys, it's just shit. It's shit. I can't watch any more of these. It's shit. Even Black Panther, and everyone loved it, but I was like, I like films. I'm a very basic person. I like it when it's, whatever it is, I love Die Hard. I love those films.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal Weapon. When it's guys or girls, humans reaching into the bowels of themselves to be the best version of what they can be. It's obviously unrealistic, but it's still them. Like, in my head, I'm like, well, I could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I could drive a car through, but I can't fly to the moon with a hammer and I can't get in a transforming thing. And that film especially, though, was just so shit. It's so long. And it's just CGI punching each other. The best moment of the whole film was Carl. We're sitting front row of the IMAX, which is stupid anyway, making me feel sick. Carl's friend Paul.
Was it 3D as well?
I think so. Yeah. I think it must have been. Yeah, it was 3D. Definitely, actually. And Paul was there. And at the end, it's so confusing because all of the fucking things look, they all look the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And Megatron pops up with like 20 minutes to go. But he's already been in it like loads.
Right.
Carl's mate Paul just leaned in my ear and goes, "Who's that geezer?" Genuine. Who's that geezer? It's like, "Megatron, mate. He's the, it's a shit. I don't even want, you're right. I shouldn't care who that geezer is." It's so bad.
Yeah.
But the prime example of all those, they make money on, they're just for kids. All that. I can't not think those films are for kids. Those.
I think it's more insidious than that. I think the Transformers films are actually army recruitment adverts.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
I did sign up, actually, just afterwards.
Yeah. So, like, who's this geezer? Can I sign up?
Yeah, it's just like, I just want to punch some metal. I want to punch some metal. Where do I sign up?
What is the film that you think is the funniest? Comedy. What's the funniest one?
TV shows that are funny is good. I found it, it's hard to see a movie that I think, I feel like funny movies are so few and far between.
Yeah. It's very hard to do.
And I think that actually what makes them, I like, when there's good slapstick in a movie, I really like that. So I have a couple of contenders. Old School, it's really stuck in my head as a movie. Purely because I'd never heard of Will Ferrell, because we didn't have Saturday Night Live in the UK. So America
was his
big
debut in England, wasn't it?
Frank the Tank,
yeah.
And he's just, even, so it's got loads of funny slapstick in it. They just tackle a guy into a fountain, or there's all those guys on the top of a building, they've got a brick on a string attached to their penis, and they throw it down, and it's a trust exercise, and it goes through a big hole, and this big guy gets taken down. That's so silly. But he's so funny in it. There's this bits where he's leaving his wife voicemails, and he just keeps going, "Hi, this is your husband, Frank Ricard. Just wanted to say, you know," it's just like does like nine take. He's so good. So that's one of them. And that's when Vince Vaughn was still funny. Just,
hey, I've just seen Fighting with My Family, and it's excellent, and he's brilliant in it.
Is he good in it?
Yeah.
Did you watch season two of True Detective?
Watched the first episode.
And then you thought, no thanks.
I thought, I ain't got time for this.
That was a good choice. He's such a bad baddie in it.
Right.
It looks like he's pretending to, he's like going, "Oh yeah, you want to do that? All right." I was just like, come on, Vince, just say
I'm going to do a bad guy.
Yeah, I'm my bad guy. It's funny that, isn't it, when there's like really good actors who can't do certain things. The other one, I think, again, because I've watched it like 10 times and it's got so many silly moments. Also has Will Ferrell in it, weirdly, even though I don't like obsessively love him.
Sounds like you do.
Sounds like I want to marry him. Him on one side, Bunny on the other. Yes, please.
You're welcome, Richard.
Richie's Night at Home. That's a new film. Other Guys.
Yeah.
Him and Wahlberg.
That's a good film, The Other Guys. Good film.
It's a good film, and it's really, like, the beginning with The Rock and Samuel L. where you think they're going to be
the main guys. An incredible bit where they jump.
What do you think? I'm thinking? Aim for the bushes.
It's a really quite incredible bit. There's no way you think that's what's going to happen.
And it sort of re-kickstarted Michael Keaton's career, which is a weird thing. Because he's really fucking funny in it, where he just keeps quoting TLC songs, and they go,
"Yeah,
Are you?" He goes, "I get chasing waterfalls." Why are you quoting TLC? He goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." You know, but he literally just goes, I don't want to scrub. Seriously, Captain, are you not aware that you're... The bit where they're having an argument at the funeral and they're having to do it at a whispering... It's got so many little... Yeah. I think that's... when it comes to a good comedy, A Fish Called Wanda is also one that's just emblazoned in my mind as like one when I was younger I used to love. That's also just like a great film that I'm sure everyone loves. But the other guy, I don't know. A film with good moments and set pieces, I think, makes a good comedy, because it's so hard to get the nuance of something you could do over like a TV series.
Yeah.
So you've got to have nice little pops. Or here's the other one, actually. Old School. Rewatched it a few years ago. Hot Shots Part 2.
Funny.
Really funny.
Funny.
Because there's so many, all of the, modern version was a scary movie.
It's like A Naked Gun. It's the same thing.
It's a Naked Gun. It's the same thing, and it's got so many funny, the just loads of puns that are funny. Yeah. The bit where I have to ring the alarm in the, it just says alarm with an H. Such a stupid joke. The bit where he's shooting and the boat gets just filled with all the empty cartridges. It's got so many funny moments in it.
Lovely bit. He goes past his dad on a boat and they say, I love you in Wall Street.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. So that is you know, when Charlie Sheen was still, we still liked him.
Chris Martin.
Thanks.
You've been a wonderful guest.
Thank you
for coming to do it.
Thanks.
Now, just before, I just have to tell you, when your wife, Hannah, the actress, when she honked the horn, someone cut in front of you, I said, you asshole. And then the man in front got out of his car, pointed a gun at you. You said, "What?" I didn't say anything. And he shot you in the head, your head fell down onto the honk thing.
Yeah.
And then Hannah just kept going, you asshole, and then had a look around LA and said, actually, there's quite a few options for me here.
There's a lot.
Remarried within, by the end of the day. Anyway, when we came to get your body, because of the heat from the LA sun coming through the windscreen like a magnifying glass, your body had expanded like metal.
Yes.
And it expanded, some of it caught fire, some of it was stuck into the upholstery of the car. Yeah, it was pretty bad, I'm sorry. So we scraped you all up. We got all the bits that we could, put you in the coffin, but it was bits of the actual car with you. The horn was still attached to your head, so we stuffed you all in.
It was a mess.
It was a mess. And there was more of you than we were expecting.
Okay.
That's not a thing about your weight. That's all the bits that were attached. Anyway, it turns out there's no room in this coffin. There's only enough room for one DVD we can slide on the side.
One DVD.
And you can take it with you to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. One night, it's your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone? In Heaven.
It's got to be. It's either White Man Can't Jump or it's Lethal Weapon. And I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon.
It's an excellent choice. You can have it. No one else is taking it. Thank you so much for coming, Chris.
Thanks, mate.
Good luck with all your endeavours.
Thank you.
And I will see you for more conversation when I stop recording this one. Good day to you.
Yay.
So that was episode 51. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 10 minutes of chat with Chris. And if you do enjoy the show, please subscribe and give it 5 stars and a nice review for the main reason that it helps our numbers, means more people get to listen to it. I can keep making it. You can keep enjoying it. We can all be in this codependent relationship for the rest of our lives until the internet explodes or iTunes bursts into flames. Anyway, thank you so much to Chris for doing the show. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it, to Acast for hosting it, to Adam Richardson for the graphics, and Lisa Lydon for the artwork. Come join me next week, where my incredible special guest will be the one and only Chabuddy G. I will be presenting the recorded live episode that we did at the Brighton Podcast Festival. Oh, it's a scorcher. You're going to love it. Anyway, in the meantime, have a lovely week. Please, be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen. Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.